Hello and welcome to Kingdom Life Radio. Today I am by myself. Over the last couple of weeks, if you've been listening, you've heard me and Joe Green, who is pastor from Second Baptist Church in South Hadley. Over the last few months, we have been going through discussions about the Holy Spirit and His work in us and through us, based on a sermon series that Joe did at Second Baptist Church. Today, Joe is not able to make it for the recording, so I'm going to be doing this one by myself and we'll be actually doing it on another topic, but actually still something that has to do with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in us to produce a life that represents Jesus and lives like Jesus. And so in a way, I'll be talking about the activity of the Holy Spirit and what He produces in our life as He works in us to become more like Jesus. And then next week, Joe Green will be joining me again to continue on the series we've been having discussions about on the Holy Spirit and His activity and His power working in us. And so for this week, we're going to be in 1 John, where John instructs the churches there to love one another. And so first of all, I'm going to read from a couple different passages in 1 John and then start to talk about what it means to love one another. We're going to start with 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 19, and then 1 John 4, 7 through 12. 1 John 3, 11, it starts off, it says, "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Just there for a moment, he says, this is the very first the message that John or whoever planted the churches that are reading this, and even us, this is the message they've heard from the beginning. And being a follower of Jesus, it means to love one another, right? In verse 12 says, "We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder his brother? Because his own deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him." Now over to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. And John writes to them, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us." I chose to come back from the series from Holy Spirit, doing this one here for by myself here, is really, this has been on my heart over the last couple months. 1 John, I've been reading over and over again, and the idea of God is love and to love one another. He loved us first. This call to love, the message of loving one another. John calls the church to do that. And I think of our current day here, just in the world, the love has grown cold. But even within church culture, there's a lack of a love the way Jesus or John describes a love here, and that's important to understand. That the word love is thrown around and it means so many things to so many people. But what is John saying here? What does he mean by love? Well, how does he describe love? What does that mean for us to love one another? What does he mean there? Does it mean just have some like feelings for people? Does he mean just not to treat them badly? Or does he mean to give sacrificial love? right within the scriptures we read, what he, John, we just read, John actually tells what he means, what that love looks like, what it functions like. It's not a feeling, though it can. There's feelings attached to it. It's an action. It's a response. It's an activity that is given and seen and manifested in people's life to see others see that love in action. And in 1 John 3:16 through 18, he describes it as, "By this we know love." He's going to describe it. He, meaning Jesus, laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has this world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. See, love is not about words and talk. It's about deed and truth. There's some substance to this thing that John talks about is love. And here he talks about Jesus was willing to come and to lay down his life. So we have to lay down our lives for our brothers. And he describes even some things or detail what it would look like if anyone has these world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him. How does God's love abide in him? Basically saying God's love can't abide in him if he's closing off his heart to his brother or his sister too. It's not just about men. And so, you know, some people may take that and say, well, it's just about goods and someone has something in need. But the spirit of that whole content is closing your heart towards someone, seeing them in need in whatever capacity. And so in helping meet that need, if we have any way of doing that, we are not to close off our heart to one another. And then 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 through 10, he describes again, he says, "In this, the love of God has made manifest among us." This is how we see it. "That God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but he loved us, sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Now here, one of the points is like we had no capacity to love God, and we had no way of making up, redeeming ourselves and making up for the things we had done wrong. So that God didn't wait for us to get things right. He loved us before we got our life right and made things right with him. And he loved us by sending his Son for our sake to die for us, to actually redeem us from our sin so we could experience his love. That's the way that's the kind of love John's describing there. And so here as we see this idea of loving one another, as John talks about it here, let's also look at another scripture, John 13:34-35, and this is Jesus's instruction. He gives instruction in the Gospel of John. John records Jesus's instruction to the disciples, verse 34 and 35. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Now, this is at the Last Supper, and Jesus has washed their feet. He's taken on the role of being a servant, where he serves them, and it's not about talk for Jesus. It's about deeds and truth. And Jesus calls them, and he calls us to the same kind of love that are seen in deeds and actions and in truth, where we do things that expresses love for one another. So we have here Jesus giving us a model for what love is, what it looks like to be real, to be indeed in truth, and to be the Jesus way of loving, not trying to get love, but learning how to give it away to others. And then John 13, in that same chapter, and just after he washes their feet, he says, "I have set an..." Chapter 13 of John, verse 15, it says, "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them." Jesus did not just tell the early disciples or us what to do. He lived it. He modeled it. And he said, do the same, not learn the same, not give mental assent to the same, but do the same thing. Follow his example and his model. If you just read the Gospels, and you'll see that Jesus has this intentionality about him reaching out, engaging people, connecting with people, building a relationship with them, and he's serving them. See, there was nothing passive about Jesus and his approach to loving others. So we talk about love, Jesus loving and giving his life on a cross, but you see in his life as he washes the disciples' feet, and then as you see in the Gospels, as he reaches out to people, he lived out his instructions that he gave in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, where it says, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. Now, sometimes people just take that it's just, it's about not doing something wrong to somebody. Jesus is saying, no. So in everything, be intentional. Do good to others, not just not do bad. He's saying, do good. Look for things, ways to love others. Look for ways to serve and help and bless others. That's what Jesus did. That's the model he had. He had opportunity to bless others and serve others. He took hold of it and did that. And he saw people. See, Jesus demonstrated how to do this. And he gave us instruction for having real life-changing friendships and relationships. And so we need to be captured by his heart for people, his heart for relationships, what's really important, really value those. And it consists of love, devotion, and fond affection. But devotion and fond affections is a part of, like I said, it's about action. But there's affection, there's a fond affection, there's devotion to people. But there's love, there's sacrifice, there's a sense of giving yourself to others for their sake. So what does it take? It takes being intentional. It takes being vulnerable. It's willing to take a risk. Remember, no guts, no glory. You got to risk putting yourself out there to help other people. And you see in Jesus' life, yeah, I say, you don't take long reading through the Gospels to see Jesus just connecting to people, engaging people, seeing them for who they are, seeing their need, and reaching out to them. I think of a couple of stories, like the widow at Nain. As Jesus walked up, it says he sees her, has compassion on her, and he goes to her. Or there's the woman with the issue of blood who walks up, and no one knows it, comes up and touches Jesus' hem of his garment, and Jesus knows someone's healed. And in this moment, he stops. He could just let it go, but he knows there's something more. And he wants that woman to know, and he stops, and he finds out who it is, and he calls her daughter, and he lets her know it's more than just healing. He's one of his own. He sees her in a relationship with her, and he lets her know, now you're part of community again. The same thing that kept her set aside, disconnected from love, has now been cured, and not only that, she is reconnected. And then there's a rich young ruler who comes to Jesus looking for what he must do. And Jesus, in love, tells him what he has to do, what's really needed for him to experience the life he's looking for. And there's a story of Zacchaeus, is another one of my favorites. It's in Luke 19. Who's Zacchaeus? He was a tax collector, considered a traitor. He was conspiring with the enemy, the Roman government. He was not worth bothering with, and probably looked at with malice and distrust by the other Jewish people. But Jesus is not concerned with what others' opinions are of Zacchaeus or what others would say about Jesus befriending him. Zacchaeus encountered someone who was really concerned about others, someone who was interested in him without an ulterior motive for gaining something from Zacchaeus. This is radically different from Zacchaeus' world that he lived in. See, Jesus broke through with a simple invite to lunch, and this act of having this chance to be with Jesus and be with Zacchaeus gave a chance for a real friendship to connect, and it changed Zacchaeus' life forever. See, that's what happens when we can love people like Jesus loved them. It has the opportunity, the potential to change a life forever. And then Jesus interacted with people. Really, he interacted with people, not for what he could get from them or get out of them, but what he could give to them of God's life that he had. See, he was secure in who he was. He was secure in the Father's love for him. He was just looking to give it all away. And see, because he was not focused on himself, he could connect with and touch people with the greatest treasure that we could ever have, that being God's love. And just as Jesus says in Luke 6:38, he says, with the measure you use, it be measured back to you. You want to experience more of a sense of God's love, then give it away. So with the measure you give, it'll be measured back to you. Now, how did Jesus love? You know, that's the question. John 3:16 is a verse we all know, or not say all, but many people know, even not in the non-Christian world. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. This is proclaiming God's immense love for the entire created order, his general love for all. He loves all. In John 15:15, he says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. So he has this great love for all things, but Jesus comes to these disciples and says, you're my friends, you're my people. He said, Jesus modeled for us this nature of the relationship God wants with us. He wants to have with each of us. His business is reconciling individual people to himself and individuals to each other. You see, Jesus did love everybody. This is it, for God to love the world. But we see him make that love personal, interactive, and individual. Whether it was the disciples or the people he encountered along the road as he was moving towards Jerusalem, Jesus did not view the crowds as some nameless, faceless group of people that he was just giving his life to. Though it was for all humanity, as he walked this earth, it was personal, interactive, and individual. See, he saw the individuals, each one with their own unique story. He did not just come to love the world, but those he individually met along the way. And even now, even as he met me and you, he comes to us individually. There's an interactive relationship we have, one very personal and intimate, that Jesus has with us and with others. And we're called to love just as he loves. Let's read John 13:34-35 that I read before. Oh, actually, just verse 34. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also love one another. So is it everyone we're called to love? For God so loved the world, just love everybody? No, it's not meant to love everyone, though we do have a love for all humanity. But the ones God, he wants us to love, the ones he puts in front of us, just like Jesus did. And each day was unique and different as he was doing and going about life, meeting people, encountering people. He loved the ones God put in front of him. This is the kind of personal, interactive, and individual love that can only be applied one person at a time. God loved all. Yes, we're called to love all humanity, but we're called to love individuals. And even if you look at all the other one other scriptures that talks about forgiving and serving and caring for one another, they don't tell us to encourage us to serve everyone. We could never do that. He says, love one another. And see, the thing is, we like to keep it in a general way, but when we keep it in a general way that we love everybody, this is the risk that we run, is that we keep it so general and it just stays just talk. And it's not actively loving someone specifically in a specific manner for their individual need. 1 John 3:18, I read, says, little children, let us not love in word or in talk, but in deed and truth. The deeds and truth that are necessary to minister love to the person that's in front of us for what they need. And Jesus calls us to demonstrate that love in the moment for whoever is before us. Now, you may be thinking, I mean, this would be great to be a part of a community that's like this. You may be even asking me or asking others, like, where can I find this? Where is this kind of community that I can be a part of it? Well, let's look at John 13:34 again. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also love one another. You're going to notice something. Jesus doesn't say, a new commandment I give to you, go get love from one another. No, you go love one another. If we focus on what others can do for us, we will set up expectations which will lead to disappointment and manipulation or control. And then we could become blinded from seeing them as Jesus sees them. See, we're not called to look to get love, create expectations, and try to control the situation, manipulate people. No, he says, go love. Be active, be intentional, be purposeful in looking to love people where they're at in that moment with the love of God that he has expressed to you and shown you. Otherwise, we'll start to see people as problems or pains or annoyances, burdens, bothersome. See, one of the greatest freedoms we can have in loving one another is the freedom we experience to not focus on ourselves, of not imposing our deadlines or agenda, my needs. And what happens then, we can start truly seeing and embracing and enjoying the life and the people that are all around us. Now, if you're reading the Gospels, when Jesus is nearing the end of his life and he's heading toward Jerusalem to give his life on a cross, the disciples are going with him. They're at the same time, they're expecting Jesus' kingdom that's going to come, and they're wondering about Jesus and about him becoming famous, right? And they're wondering when they were going to become famous and privileged. They're fighting over who would get to sit on Jesus' left and right and who among them was the greatest. And we see what the disciples, what they were focused on. They were focused on getting something for themselves. They saw this as an opportunity to gain privilege for themselves and comfort for themselves. And they were missing all the kingdom activity all around them. But you see, Jesus was seeing and he was focusing on all the kingdom activity, all the people all around him, loving individuals along the way and in the way that those individuals needed. I just think of the story of blind Bartimaeus, who's as Jesus on the road to Jerusalem, he hears him calling out for Jesus to heal him of this huge crowd. And Jesus not only sees the people, he hears individuals, and he calls that individual to himself to heal him. See, Jesus was seeing the incredible treasure that was all around him, the people he came for, not just to give his life for all humanity and not know the people, but he saw the people, he saw them, their individual selves and their story. And this is what our Father's like, and he calls us to be just like Jesus. Jesus says, love as I have loved you, right? He says, you also are to love one another just as I have loved you. See, it starts with us on the inside. You can't give what you don't got. I know my wife heard me, and she's just like, drives her crazy. I don't use the right English, But I say that way on purpose. You can't give what you don't got. This is not just about changing some external acts that we're going to go around trying to do all these things. This is meant to be a part of who we are, like our spiritual DNA. The Spirit of the living God lives in us, the one who came to give his life for us. That same Spirit is alive in us right now for followers of Christ. And freely he gave, he calls us to freely give what we have freely received. This is really important. See, you really can't love until you've experienced the love of God and what he's done for us. And when I say love, well, we can't love, I'm talking about the kind of love God calls us to. I'm not talking about these emotional feelings only. I'm talking about these actions that expresses the real love of God that he has for us. See, this love one another is not just some requirement we're called to obey, but the reality of what personally experiencing God's love and grace does in us, giving us the freedom and power to do just that, to love one another. 1 John 4:10-11, it says, and this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Experiencing God's love and acceptance brings a real security to the core of who we are. And it frees us to love one another, not as a requirement, nor as or in a way of pretending we're doing it. But God's love will free us in a way that it can't help but flow out of us and in turn touch other people. See, God's not looking for pretenders who can act this out in front of other people, but by themselves, there's no reality to it. He wants us to have an authentic experience personally with his love for us, and in turn be authentic in our expression of the love he has for us and the love he has for the others around us. And what are the results of us loving one another just as Jesus loved us? See, a new commandment I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, if you love one another, it is by this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That's the result. The result is the world will know you're a disciple of Jesus, not because you feel love, but because you do love. Remember, this is love. This is not about emotion and affection only. And we can have those things without ever actually doing the kind of love Jesus loved, where he would lay down his life, where the Father would send his Son for us. You see, Jesus gave the world a way to judge you and I if we're truly followers. He also gave them a way to judge the good news we share, if it's real or true, by our love for one another. I'm not talking about affections and emotions. I'm talking about a life lived that looks like Jesus and loving one another in sacrificial love for the sake of others, seeing them, being intentional, purposeful in loving others. And also, I just want to close with reading Matthew 5, verse 13 through 16. This is a message version of the Bible. And it says, let me tell you, this is Jesus talking here. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lies. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. He calls us to love one another. In a variety of scriptures, we have just laid them out. And really the challenge for us is in a world that moving more and more towards hating one another, and division and hurt and pain, we need to be a people, if we follow Jesus, that love one another just like Jesus loved us. We're called to live in that love, to experience the love he has for us and encounter him, and in turn encounter other people with the love of Christ in a way that they may open up their lives to God and encounter and know the generous Father that we have and his love he has for us and the world around us. Well, that's it for this week. If you want to listen to this episode again, you can find it on my website at letyourkingdomcome.com. That's letyourkingdomcome.com. You can also leave any comments you want there. I'd love to hear from you. Next week, we'll be having Joe Green joining me again to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through us, the church, in our day. Until next week, pray God bless you.